trained to be dull. Similarly, think of a bank chairman whose institution makes steady profits over a long time, only to lose everything in a single reversal of fortune. Traditionally, bankers of the lending variety have been pear-shaped, clean-shaven, and dress in possibly the most comforting and boring manner, in dark suits, white shirts, and red ties. Indeed, for their lending business, banks hire dull people and train them to be even more dull. But this is for show. If they look conservative, it is because their loans only go bust on rare, very rare occasions. There is no way to gauge the effectiveness of their lending activity by observing it over a day, a week, a month, or even a century. In the summer of 1982, large American banks lost close to all their past earnings cumulatively, about everything they ever made in the history of American banking, everything. They had been lending to South and Central American countries that all defaulted at the same time, an event of an exceptional nature. So it took just one summer to figure out that this was a sucker's business and that all their earnings came from a very risky game. All that, while the bankers led everyone, especially themselves, into believing that they were conservative. They are not conservative, just phenomenally skilled at self-deception by burying the possibility of a large, devastating loss under the rug. In fact, the travesty repeated itself a decade later, with the risk-conscious large banks once again under financial strain, many of them near bankrupt after the real estate collapse of the early 1990s, in which the now defunct savings and loan industry required a taxpayer-funded bailout of more than $500 billion. The Federal Reserve Bank protected them at our expense. When conservative bankers make profits, they get the benefits. When they are hurt, we pay the costs. After graduating from Wharton, I initially went to work for Bankers Trust, now defunct. There, the chairman's office, rapidly forgetting about the story of 1982, broadcast the results of every quarter with an announcement explaining how smart, profitable, conservative, and good-looking they were. It was obvious that their profits were simply cash borrowed from destiny with some random payback time. I have no problem with risk-taking, just please, please, do not call yourself conservative and act superior to other businesses who are not as vulnerable to black swans. Another recent event is the almost instant bankruptcy in 1998 of a financial investment company, hedge fund, called Long-Term Capital Management, LTCM, which used the methods and risk expertise of two Nobel economists who were called geniuses, but were in fact using phony bell curve-style mathematics while managing to convince themselves that it was great science, and thus turning the entire financial establishment into suckers. One of the largest trading losses ever in history took place in almost the blink of an eye, with no warning signal. The main tragedy of the high-impact, low-probability event comes from the mismatch between the time taken to compensate someone and the time one needs to be comfortable that he is not making a bet against the rare event. People have an incentive to bet against it or to game the system since they can be paid a bonus reflecting their yearly performance when in fact all they are doing is producing illusory profits that they will lose back one day. Indeed, the tragedy of capitalism is that since the quality of the returns is not observable from past data, owners of companies, namely shareholders, can be taken for a ride by the managers who show returns and cosmetic profitability, but in fact might be taking hidden risks.